I'm here appearing for council for change order number three to the South Coastal Library Expansion Contract Number 0604 under construction by Nason. This change order consists of 8 potential changes and a final quantity adjustment of the contingent items in the contract. It results in an increase of $3,225 to the contract, which basically, with this included change order, brings the status to date of $10,626 under the bid amount we had, or 1/4% under bid amount. The first PCO on it was the panel breaker to the site lighting photo cell circuit needed to be changed from the design size of 100 amp to a 60 amp because the photo cell was a 60 amp. This was shown incorrectly on the drawings. Cost of this extra work was $981. The second is the addition of a relay module in the data room. This was necessary because we had to have the fire alarm system talk to our building access control system. So in case of a fire, the fire alarm and the access would interface and the access control would release the door lock so everybody could get out. The cost of this relay was $455. The third was the addition of a couple outlets in the staff lounge. They weren't shown on the contract drawings. The addition was $267. The fourth was installing a number 6 ground wire from the electric room to the data room for grounding of the incoming Verizon lines so we don't have a problem with incoming lines conducting electrical charges throughout the building. That was an addition of $359. Excuse me. The fifth was the changing electrical circuits to the rooftop 2 HVAC units. The drawings showed them incorrectly sized as a 25-amp circuit to one unit and a 35-amp circuit to the other. This error was not discovered until the electrician started the wiring up the units to the disconnects. They should have been and were redesigned to be a 100-amp unit and a 125-amp power unit with disconnects to those two units. Fortunately, we were able to use the 100-amp breaker that we changed out to the 60-amp breaker in the first one I mentioned to use the breaker, which was a good-sized dollar savings. The cost of correcting those two was $9,975. The sixth PCO was to change out the ceiling grids where we had, in certain areas, we had a 4x4 ceiling tile instead of a 2x2. Where the diffusers came down, the weight would cause the ceiling tile to sag. So basically, we changed up and made those 2x2s so we'd have the additional support so the ceilings wouldn't sag. And that was an additional cost of $499. Then the seventh was a additional 2 smoke detectors required by the fire marshal during his preliminary walkthrough inspection prior to the final. And he asked for 2 more smoke detectors. One was in the electric room, I believe, and one in the storage room. The additional cost of that was $1,063. The eighth was to add a convenience outlet on the outside split HVA system to the data room. This is a National Electrical Code requirement that wasn't on the drawings. The cost of that was $251. Then that's the total of the PCOs. Then there's the adjustment of the final quantities of the 4 contingent items, which results in a savings of $10,625. I believe you have a spreadsheet on that. If not, actually what it was, the undercut and backfill quantity, the fabric we were going to use for stabilization was slightly under, and the water main, we redesigned the pond slightly to avoid the water main conflict, so we didn't have to encase that. So there's a savings of that. In addition, on this change order, there is a 7 contract, calendar day contract time extension to complete the outside work around the building to get the building occupiable for us so we could move in. And that was due to all the heavy rains we had in November and December last year. So basically, these 8 potential changes in the contract item adjustments results in a total addition to the contract of $3,225 and an additional 7 calendar days to the time.
Does the council have any questions for Mr. Jones?
Is there, I hear you say some of these things weren't on the drawing or were the wrong size or were required by national code and didn't show on the drawing. Who did the drawing?
Studio J, our architect.
Do we have any recourse to go back on them for some of these things that they missed putting on the drawing?
There is, I assume, always the recourse of going back and saying, hey, guys, you need to come forward a little bit. That's something that is subject to.
I mean, is that a strange question or?
Well, I would answer it this way. In this case, you look at where we are from the beginning of awarding the bid. We've had many more credits than we've had cost overages. Bob, are we even over? We may still be under the bid amount, right?
We're still under by 0.25%.
So we haven't even, you know, we've been able during the course of this project find places to save money more than, yeah, Bob's coming in and he's requesting additional charges of $3,000. But in effect, we've been able to reduce the cost by finding ways to save money versus these few cost items. And I guess we go into these things and we expect there are going to be some costs. Now, if we had a $4 million project and say we came in and we're asking for $500,000 of poor design that's cost us money, then I think by rights we have the ability to go back and say, hey, you know, this was poorly orchestrated on your part. But when you look at a $4 million project and we're talking about several thousand dollars, I think you look at that being a success and you wouldn't go back to your architect or engineer and ask them to pay penalties in that case. Because in effect, it's been, if you look at the big picture, it's been a very successful project.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, could you read the motion?
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Jones.
It moved based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department and its consultant, Studio J, that change order number 3 for Sussex County Project 0604 South Coastal Library renovations be approved, which extends the contract time by 7 calendar days due to weather, increases the contract amount by $3,225 for a new total of $4,193,374.
Motion, please.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the change order as read by Mr. Jones. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ms. Cooper?
I sent everyone a handout on the reason for my being here today, and this is in regard to, it's also at the air park, at the industrial air park at the water treatment plant, but this is an ongoing project that started before our new council members were here. It's an upgrade to the fire protection system for the entire air park, and the project is now 84% complete as of March 31st. The reason for this request for a change order is that during construction, it was discovered, I guess I could say, or noticed that the designers had installed for each new fire pump that we're putting in, they installed an isolation valve on the suction side of each pump and a check valve on the discharge side of each pump. And our consultant's opinion was that the check valve and the isolation valve is sufficient for isolating the pump for maintenance. Maintenance has informed me that check valves are notorious for leaking and needing repair themselves, and they don't think we should depend on a check valve as an isolation valve. So we had our general contractor, Southern Builders, have his subcontractor, Columbia Fire Systems, who's doing all the interior piping for this project, research the most economical way for us to install an additional isolation valve for each fire pump at the most economical way. They came up with two solutions. One would be to install, and I didn't send this picture around, but in case somebody isn't familiar with it, this is what I'm talking about. It's just a photocopy of a valve. This particular valve is a gate valve, outside stem and yoke, and this valve itself is 1,304 pounds. Now that is the gate.
That's very heavy. 1,300, did you say?
Yes, for each valve. We're talking about three of them. Now the weight itself isn't the issue, but the expense of these gate valves is. The subcontractor came up with a more economical method of isolating the pumps, and that was by using a butterfly valve. The butterfly valve takes up less space on the pipe. It doesn't take up as much pipe space, which we can fit into this small area a lot more easily. It's less than half the cost of the gate valves. So, another reason for this valve in particular, or any of these valves that he looked at, they all need an actuator, a bevel gear that makes it easier to turn, to open and close, because of the fact that on the discharge side of each pump, the operating pressure is 175 PSI. And it's even a really strong person probably could not open or close that valve against that pressure.
Just put a longer handle on it. More leverage.
Yeah, they do that too. And if anybody has a question on the operation of the valves, that's why Steve Hudson stayed here with me, because he has a lot of experience in operations and maintenance. But the valve, the reason for the isolation valve to me is very clear, and I feel responsible for not having noticed it at the beginning. I depended on our consultant's opinion that the check valve was sufficient, but our field people know what they're doing, and they convinced me that that isolation valve really is necessary. And considering the cost of the project and the expense of the pumps and the electrical systems and control systems we're installing, this is a minimal change to the total cost of the project.
Are there any questions for Ms. Cooper? Give Mr. Vincent.
And I'm not going to pick on you.
That's okay.
But this is the second thing in a row, and I understand Mr. Rizzo's comment about we're under budget and we're saving money, but we're still spending money. And I still think maybe we need to be doing a little closer look at some of these things and not have these occur after the fact. We've got to go back and take pipes apart and do whatever.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to avoid, is have to come back and put these in later because we need them.
Just a comment, I guess, and not anybody in particular, just a thought.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, I take responsibility for that because I did most of the reviews prior to the construction process. So,
Who were the consultants?
Gillen and Hartman.
And we won't use them again.
I'd like to say this young woman is very dedicated and extremely competent.
It was not a negative thing to her. It's a general statement about the process.
I guess. Well, but I did overlook that, and I depended on the engineer's recommendation,
sure.
And apparently that's not the best way to install the pumps.
I don't understand a butterfly valve taking the place of a check valve. A check valve is
doesn't take the
a
place.
A check valve is an automatic.
It's an addition to.
And a butterfly is one you're going to have to manually turn on. So how
check valves have to stay there. The check valves are required.
Okay.
But the second isolation valve will be further downstream from the check valve. That way, there's on either side of the pump.
You're isolating it both sides.
You can isolate the pump and the check valve at the same time. Only one pump. And you can maintain either one without shutting down the rest of the fire system.
That means somebody's going to turn that thing on. There's got to be there manually turn this on.
Oh, yes, because...
With a check valve, it automatically comes on.
The check valve is always going to be there anyway. We're not taking those out. Those have to be installed.
If they had to repair something, they can isolate different things. They're not going to be turning that thing on and off every day. I mean, it's a rarity.
It's a very rare thing, but also...
Are we afraid of losing the prime? Is that why we don't want a check valve?
No, we're putting the check valves in. They're not coming out. The check valves have to be there. It's required.
What we actually have is a three-pump system that only requires two pumps to maintain pressure.
Yeah.
So if we have a check valve problem with this isolation valve, we can turn that section off, activate the other two pumps without deactivating the whole fire system. That's kind of our purpose.
Otherwise, without the two isolation valves at each pump,
right,
to either maintain the check valve or the fire pump, you would have to shut down the entire fire system, which means you have to put Pats and all the other tenants at the airpark on notice for fire watch, continuous fire watch. And after we've gone to this expense to install this upgraded fire protection system,
Now's the time to do it, right?
That's correct.
I calculated the difference in cost, and we are trying to be very careful.
Sure.
We've had one change order so far. This is number two, and as I told you, we're 84% complete, which we're very close to the end. This only raises total change orders to 2.5% of the total project cost, which is...
Can we get some stimulus money for this?
No stimulus money in this one.
Ms. Cooper,
what it should be used for.
Why don't you go ahead and read the motion? We'll see.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number two for Sussex County Project 0307, Airpark Fire Protection System Upgrade Phase 1 with Southern Builders Incorporated of Salisbury, Maryland, be approved in the amount of $16,377.90, which increases the contract total to $2,831,941.88 and extends the contract term by 21 calendar days.
So moving.
Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the change order. Is there any questions for Ms. Cooper? No questions. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like you all to come out and see the system once we